Welcome to the Her Sweet Spot Experience, dishing out tips and tricks on mindset, money, marketing, and media for your life and business, and where we talk to women about how they found their sweet spot.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, to the Her Sweet Spot podcast, your dose of inspiration where we celebrate and amplify the voices of inspiring women entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Marcia Guerriere, and today we have a special episode featuring one of the recipients of the Her Rise Micro Grant. These women have not only started incredible businesses, but have also harnessed the power of grant funding to make a real impact in their lives and in their businesses. Today, in this month's segment, we'll dive into their entrepreneurial journey and the role of the microgrant in their success and their invaluable advice for fellow entrepreneurs. So with that, I welcome today's guest.
Hello.
I'm Sunita, yes. Hello. Congratulations again on getting the Her Rise micro grant. You know, no amount of non-equity funding is a small amount, right?
Exactly. Yeah. All of it's helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So before we dive deep into your business, introduce yourself, share a little bit about your journey, share a little bit about your business, and tell us how you got started.
Right. So my name's Sunita. I own a tea shop. It's called Antiquities. When I went to college for architecture, and I love architecture, it's super cool, but I found that I've always loved tea a little more, and I wanted to be in that industry because it's so relaxing. And then I decided to, I don't want to use the word quit or drop out, but I just ended my college career.
Pivot is what we like to say.
I pivoted and I decided to pursue business instead. And, I found an already existing tea shop. It was existing for maybe 2 years. Met the owner. We talked about tea. He taught me what he knew, showed me all the books I needed to read. And then within a few months, it was mine. And now it's been 5 years and I have two locations. And I feel like I've done
it. I love that your journey and your story, because one, you bought into an existing business. So you didn't have to really, it had its own customers already and you were just kind of taking it over, which is the pathway to entrepreneurship that most people don't think of, right? Mm-hmm. And two, you got to learn and you applied, and work with the founder who, what great mentorship, right? You can't get any better than that, than to work with the person that started the business.
It was,
and the ropes.
Before that, I've always known that I've wanted to own a business. My parents own businesses and so do all my siblings. Mm-hmm. So, and they're much older than I am. So I've just always seen that. I've never seen them work for anybody else. So that's just how I thought it was. And when I was in high school, I made an online store. I got three sales and they were from my friends, but
It's usually how startups happen, but you have always had that mindset, right?
In which, it's always been there.
Yeah, it's always been there. And what great examples that you had already in your family. You know, when we look at everything that we do inside Her Sweet Spot, you know, mindset, money, marketing, and media is the four pillars of success framework that we use. And thinking about mindset, could you share a pivotal moment or mindset shift that helped you find your sweet spot in terms of entrepreneurship and how you, the things that you saw your family, especially you were privy to the good and the bad, right? With your family being entrepreneurs. So I know oftentimes our parents are like, don't go down my track because it's hard. Yeah. And they don't want you to have that hard life. So what are some of the mindset shifts you had to do for yourself?
Well, honestly, neither of my parents went to college. They've always been entrepreneurs, and then their parents were also entrepreneurs. So I've never had to have a pivotal mindset shift when it comes to entrepreneurship. It's just always been there. I will say, going to school and seeing everybody else's mindset, it confused me a little bit because I felt like I needed to be that as well. Like I needed to go to college.
That's so funny. And so not funny, but fascinating, I should say, that while you had this upbringing, most of us, if not all of us, are the opposite. We have our families that are like, go to school, especially for, I'm a first generation American here. And when my parents came, my mom and her siblings, they were all about go, we're here in America, we're here for school. Mm-hmm. My mom, as I was growing up as a child, I saw her go through all the way to getting her master's degree, right?
Yeah. Wow.
And so you are the opposite, which I find also fascinating to talk about. And yet you felt your mindset was to do that American traditional.
One of my sisters, not the oldest one, but my other sister, she was more academic than the rest of us. I mean, we're all pretty academic, but she was on another level of academia. And so she got her PhD. So I saw her go through school, but she was constantly in her room studying. And she did travel and she had friends and stuff, but her head was always in a book.
Yeah.
And that to me, some people like that, but for me, I'm very hands-on, you know? So I saw her doing it and I realized I didn't really want to do that either, if that meant what a college career was.
Yeah,
you know, getting somewhere in life. And I figured if my parents were able to do this thing when they were my age, then I could too.
Yeah.
And luckily they had money saved up for college and I told them they're wasting it on me for college.
That's excellent. And brings me to my next question, which is our money pillar and our money conversation and managing finance and having startup costs. Mm-hmm. How, you know, we know how crucial it is. What are some of the things and financial strategies or decisions that played a significant role in your journey? And what are some tips even that your parents gave you?
I feel like my parents gave me really good advice, but you have to have more of a disciplined mindset to get it. Like they believe in, if you lose money, it's just paying off karma. Don't sweat it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it kind of helps to realize that it's all a learning experience. You're getting something out of it anyway, even if you lose out on it. You're learning. As far as with the shop, we used the money that they saved up for me for college, but I also had to take out a loan, and that was a learning experience because I didn't realize how much up. I was still young as well. I was 20. So I didn't, even though they would explain things to me, you don't fully get it till you're going through it.
You're
in your later 20s, like I am now. But yeah, it was very, it was a new landscape. I didn't realize that it would take me 5 years to pay it off, but I finally did. And
congratulations. That's huge.
Yep. So I feel like now I could finally, like, I have my shop and my business and I could finally like scale it and benefit from it.
Yeah.
And it won't have like this thing lingering around, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now you went from one shop with the first owner who kind of had those doors open and you bought that shop. Mm-hmm. How was your experience then going into a second shop? And now you were completely on your own with opening the second shop, right?
Yep. That was scary. I will say when I got the first shop, I didn't realize how good I had it. And then I opened, because I had people around me, people guiding me, and which was good enough. Like the guidance helped for now. But with the second shop, it was a huge learning curve too, because I opened it and I'm thinking, for some reason, I thought I would have more time on my hands, and I have zero time on my hands.
How did you think you would have more time?
I don't know. I just thought, like, I have no idea. And it's been open since the end of August. And but at the same time, even though I have to work all the time, I was able to take 2 weeks off for the holiday season.
Nice.
And that was nice. So
that's the plan. That's the purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being your own boss, being able to manage your time effectively so that you can have those times where you can take a whole 2 weeks off.
Yep.
So when it comes to marketing the business and moving into the second business, what are some marketing strategies that you used and how were you reaching? How well did you know your customer to feel confident to open the second location, and how far apart are your locations, right?
They're about 25 minutes apart.
Mm.
So I'm in my first location's in Winter Garden, Florida. My second one's in Maitland, Florida. It's about a 30-minute drive.
Okay.
For about a year before I opened the second location, I would ask my loyal customers, but the customers who seemed like they wanted to talk and have a conversation, I would ask them if they lived near Maitland, if they would have to track down to Winter Garden, if there was another tea shop like this one in Maitland, would they go to it? I just asked questions like that to everybody that I could ask. Right. And I got the general answer I heard the most was, oh yeah, I live around Maitland, or I work around Maitland. So yeah. I just went off of that. I was like, Maitland is also very close to Winter Park, Florida. It's basically on the outskirt of it where my shop is. And that's a great market for a tea shop.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the tea shops, unfortunately, like when you type in tea, a lot of boba shops pop up. It's not loose leaf tea, and I'm loose leaf tea. So that, at least when I look up tea, that's what I'm expecting to find is loose leaf tea shops, but it's only boba shops. So I feel like I picked the right spot for what I wanted to do and the right distance. And I feel like I gave myself a year of surveying. And then I did a Google ad for a little bit. I have it paused now, but I do it every now and then. And I had these little postcards made, and I put them in businesses all around. That's honestly, I've gotten a good chunk of customers from that. I sent out emails, and also social media marketing as well. I did Instagram, a lot of Instagram, and I'm starting to do TikTok a little bit more.
Are you shipping your teas?
I am, yeah. I have an online store as well, so that helps. I have punch cards where every 10 teas, you could get one for free. On the back of it, there's a QR code that takes you to the Instagram, which has a link to the website. So you could buy tea straight from the website.
Awesome. Love it. So that is part of the scalable model. That's part of reaching customers nationally, globally, if you do ship international. Any thoughts, Sunita, on being the Starbucks of tea and franchising? Well, Starbucks doesn't even franchise. It's their right? And so what are your thoughts for global expansion?
I have thought about that, franchising. I'm a little scared because I'm emotionally attached to it, you know? And it's
probably why Starbucks kept it in-house as well, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of letting go, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a little hard to do. I will say, like 2 years ago, I was more on the franchising side of the fence. I thought I would want to do it, but I think with opening the second shop and really going through all of it by myself over the last 2 years, I don't know, I'm more emotionally attached now to franchise, but maybe in the future, I do plan in March to go to Taiwan and Thailand with my friend Amy. And she has a tea business of her own, but she's based in Wales. And she travels all over the world and writes about tea. She was actually in Orlando like a month ago for a 12-hour layover. But yeah, she invited me to go with her to her tea trips in March to Taiwan and Thailand. And she's also going elsewhere as well, but I'm only able to swing about a month. But with that, we were hoping to maybe partner up and expand it that way with both of our businesses.
Great opportunity. Yeah.
But it's just talk now. It's not really, we don't have a set plan as of yet, but I think that would be the direction I would go in, because it would be really cool to have one here, but also to have my tea in Wales as well. Mm-hmm. That would be really cool.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. So with the trip in mind, mm-hmm. and kind of expanding your reach and getting to our fourth pillar, which is media. And we talk about all sorts of media, not just social media, but true media exposure and the new media exposure being, like you just said, you're just starting to get in TikTok, mm-hmm. and people are using TikTok like the new search engine that it is, yeah. and are creating their travel blogs, food blogs, and mm-hmm. vlogs, as they call it. I can foresee this trip you're doing in March. Are you guys preparing to do a full on? You got to get all the booms for your phones and get your gear ready so that you could really document the experience and start a tea traveling channel and get you more exposure, right? Would you be interested in that?
Oh, definitely. I definitely plan on like videoing it, TikToking it. She's actually, my friend Amy is really good at that stuff. She's got a couple thousand followers and she's scaling it. But I do plan to take a lot of pictures and videos, especially of these tea places, because I think it's beneficial to for my customers to see that I'm actually going to these farms and sourcing these teas from these.
A true thought leader. You know, entrepreneurship is more so, can more so be about thought leadership for any industry. It really allows you to highlight your passion, your love, and media exposure is a great way to share that thought leadership, even with the tea business. You know, we talk about using current events as a way to pitch yourself to media. Have you pitched yourself to local media? Have you been featured with your grand opening maybe? And how has media helped you in your business?
So I didn't do any grand opening media like I should have, but I did get a good turnout for my grand opening. Like I didn't expect it, but when I got there, there was a line waiting outside my door, which was unexpected. That was so cool. As far as putting myself out there, I've been in a couple magazines in Winter Garden. I'm trying to get in some Maitland newspapers. I know across from me there's another little local cafe called Blackbird, and they do podcasts every now and then. And also there's a lot of community events in Maitland where you could go out as a business owner, and it's not like you're shoving it in anyone's face, because it's there for that purpose. They call them they're block parties, but they're like the last Friday of every month, and it's just one street that they block off, and you can come and set up a little tent as a business owner, and then there's like all the residents that come around, and then there's people there vlogging it and you know, videoing it, putting it online. So it's stuff like that. I will say I do need to get myself out there a little bit more in Maitland. I've done a better job of that in Winter Garden, but that's only because I feel more at home, I think, in Winter Garden.
Well, I want you to reach out to your local TV, local news. Right now, with everybody sick, you're a little under the weather. I'm a little under the weather. We talked about that off camera, but tea is my go-to. I drink it all day long, especially during this time of year. So, you know, I really would love to see you pitch yourself to media, local media, and talk about the benefits of tea, especially as a thought leader in this time, and use the whole COVID's back, RSV, and all these respiratory, and how tea can benefit, and the different types of tea. So I really, really want to lean on you. I can't help it, but to give a little coaching advice to my entrepreneurs, but really try to pitch your local news to see if you can come talk about the benefits of tea during this time of year. And it's really just talking about you as a thought leader, right? And you can even reach out to places like What is that show that I love so much? Kathy and Hoda. I mean, not Kathy. Kathy's Hoda and Jenna on the Today Show, right? I really would love to see you pitch yourself to media and get your, this is a great time to do that.
It's stuff like that never seemed reachable to me. But there is a local honey company. Well, they're in St. Augustine. That's still local. And they pitched themselves, I think, to all these places. And I think they were featured on the Today Show, which is super cool because it's such a, it's a small honey company, you know, out of Florida. But they're making big waves right now. And I think it's because of stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Local media, which will lend itself to getting more national stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're able to find a small PR publicist, you could do it yourself, actually. Write press releases for yourself and post them on press release sites online, just to really give you, have that reach to get you, especially because you are a national brand that ships all over the country. So I really would love to see that for you, Sunita, because I believe in what you're doing and know that there are so many benefits to what you're doing as well. And it could go really beyond that local community that you're in, that and sharing that love with us. Looking ahead to the future, right? Mm-hmm. What's your vision for the business and your role as an entrepreneur? Now that you got the taste of 2 weeks off and then you're going to have a month off traveling, what is your journey going to look like in the future?
I definitely think I want to immerse myself more in the local community, start at home first instead of branching out. Because I feel like I want my local community to be familiar with me first and know me first. And I do have a small reach, but it could be greater. And like on the Orlando Reddit page, I could, like, my business could pop up on there. People could talk about it. And I want to make sure that it's good, but I also want to make sure that they do talk about me. Mm-hmm. So I think for this year, at least, I do have, I'm starting my year plan. I'm trying not to overwhelm myself with a year-long plan, so I'm taking it a few months at a time, especially with the wanting to travel to these tea plantations. But I wanted to do more farmers markets, actually, because there is so many in Orlando, and they do them all at different, like some are Saturdays, some are Sundays. There's some also randomly throughout the week in different places, but I wanted to like have a more local reach that way. In my new shop, I have a little stage inside. So I wanted to do more events where people could gather and do like networking. Besides like my own events, like karaoke, that's for customers. But I mean, like for other business owners, I wanted to open it up to meet other business owners where I don't have to go somewhere else, but they could come to me and they see my business, but it's also a place where they can mingle. They don't necessarily have to buy anything, but they're there talking.
So that's a community.
A community. That, I guess that's my plan for the next few months, is to really build and nurture this community. Cause I feel like I have it in Winter Garden. I feel at home and solid in Winter Garden. I feel like people know me, but in Maitland, it's a whole new, everybody's new, everything's new. I really want to create the same feeling I have in Winter Garden for Antiquities.
I love that. Each location have its own vibe and really caters to the local community and their needs, which is really what it should be all about.
Yeah, I do think people crave that. Like a place they could go to that's not, it feels homey. It doesn't feel commercial.
Yeah. So. The local friends. Set around tea instead of coffee and or cocktails. I love it.
Yep.
Sunita, I'm just gonna give you a couple of questions in our what we call our lightning round.
Okay.
And just to get you to know you a little bit deeper, if you can, what one book you think all women business owners should read?
Ooh. Well, honestly, right now I'm reading a lot of books on like self-care and happiness.
It's necessary. I mean, every woman, and not just business leaders, but what would you recommend?
There is I don't remember the name of it, but it's by it's Richard Branson. My sister gave it to me because it's her book. I'm going to Google it real quick so I could tell you the name of it. I'm really bad at book names. I just pick up books and read
And
them.
just read.
The Nat McCurdy book, I read that one, but I don't remember the name of it.
I just started reading. I just got my son, not first, but my signed copy of Arlen Hamilton's Your First Million. And I'm excited to dive deep into that. When we talk about your first million, how was it if you reached already your first 100,000? How was it to getting to your road to 100,000 for you?
I feel like I was so taken up with trying to be a business owner and not fail at it that I didn't even realize that it happened. And
Wow.
then I was speaking to my accountant and she told me that I was fine. I was gonna make more. And I was just like, I was baffled. I was like, oh, okay, so I am doing a good job. Like, okay,
Amazing.
let's keep that going. The book is like a virgin. I wouldn't say like all women business owners need to read it, but that was one that I read that gave me a little boost. I was like, oh, okay. There is another one called I don't remember who it's by, but it's a Blueprint to Business is what it's called. There is a lot of grammatical errors in that book. I will say that's the only thing that bugs me about it. But that one too was another one that
But it helped you, even with the grammatical errors, which is something that I say to authors that are self-publishing, and they're like so worried about editing and editing and editing. Or it's not ready, it's not ready. Get it out there. Because look at this book you just mentioned that helped you, yet it was full of flaws.
Yeah, it was, and honestly, it was just a series. It's this entrepreneur, and it's a series of stories of all the entrepreneurial things that he did in his life, like all the little businesses that he owned, how he got there, how he did it, how he got out of it. And it really made me feel like I could do it too. And this was when I was 18 or 19. Now I'm 27. But that book, like, definitely, I think about it a lot, and I'm like, oh, I remember how I felt when I read it. It's like I wanted to do this stuff. So,
I
and that
thought
hasn't really changed. So,
it was always in you.
yep.
I have a question that I like to ask everybody that comes to the podcast. If you had to start your business all over again, or even just think of a business that you didn't even buy into and you only had $500, what do you think you'd do first?
Ooh, probably something with music, and like I would probably like buy and sell amps, and yep. So that's the other half of me. I love tea, but also music is a huge part of my life.
That's what I was going to ask next. When we can't find you at your tea shop and you're not doing everything all tea, what can we find you doing? And you just said it.
Yeah, music. I go to a lot of concerts, a lot of shows, local shows, not local shows. And then my friend, I'm also a musician. My friend who I spent 2 weeks with at his farm, we're in a band together. So and that's what he's also an entrepreneur. He has a bunny rescue. That's what his farm is, but he has 30 chickens as well. So he sells his eggs. And he also he has amps, so he buys and sells amps, he fixes guitars. He's like a and then there's you call them, well, they're called Kempers. And then there's the quad cortex. Now it's just digital amps, really, to put it as simple as possible, but you could basically program them to sound like your live amps that you have sitting in front of you, where someone could download the program, plug in their guitar and play it through their amp, but it will sound like yours or their speakers, but it would sound like your amp. So he created what was called a Kemper pack, which is a series of his amps, and he sells those online, and they actually sell. Like,
wow. People
buy them. So I'd probably do that with $500, because that's doable with $500.
That sounds amazing, and in an industry and a market that's well niched, and
yep.
you would hit the right audience for that.
Yeah, it's wild to me that I'm in two markets that are very niche. Tea's a little bigger. With music, it's big as well, but also it depends on the genre that you're in. Yeah. Like we're into metal, so it's a little bit more smaller.
Yeah. Well, I know your parents are super, super proud of you. I'm proud of you. Uh-huh. I am, you know, when we selected you for this grant, we believed in the business and what you were doing, and you had a great application. Like we asked everyone to, we do our due diligence in reviewing people's applications.
Oh, thank you.
So you're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. How can people contact you? What's your website? Give them all the deets on where they could find you and your tea.
So it's Antiquities. It's the word antiquity, A-N-T-I-Q-U-I, but the T is T-E-A-S. That's my handle for Facebook and Instagram. And my website is antiquitiesonline.com. And then you could email me at antiquitiesflorida@gmail.
But and we'll put the information, put it out there with the podcast and on our YouTube for folks to have an easy link. I thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Good luck. You're welcome. Good luck on everything that you're going to go into the new year. So what I take away from today is that, one, surround yourself by people that motivate you, right? You've been surrounded by good people that continue to inspire and motivate you. Mm-hmm. And you still maintain your passions outside of that, right? Outside
of the
business. So the balance and the harmonious living is key, especially with the self-help and you know, preventing as much burnout as possible.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Guys, thank you for tuning in. That's all we have for today. We look forward to having you on our next show. I'm Marcia Guerriere, host and founder of Her Sweet Spot. Until next time, when we support one another, we all rise. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Her Sweet Spot Experience. Make sure to visit our website, www.hersweetspot.com. That's her, SUITE, spot.com, where you can become a member of our growing community.